Pedro bringing us the audio, too. What do you have today, Pedro? Some funny clips?
They're not that funny, to be honest with you.
You've become the king of the undersell. I've noticed that lately. It's the jokes aren't very good today, Mr. Bob.
When I have funny stuff, I say it, and this time it's not that funny.
The View with Alec Baldwin.
That was on Friday.
What did he do?
I made the worst attempt at apology. We played that Friday morning.
Casey played some clips.
Yeah, that's old stuff.
Well, no, because actually we played a preview clip, and now that happened, and so we have new clips.
He didn't mean to say what he said, blah, blah. Yeah. He has a great relationship with his daughter. Yeah.
Nice hand gesture.
Now, I understand he has a book coming out.
Yeah, I got a theory on Alec Baldwin when I read that this morning. He has a book coming out this fall about divorced parents and their kids. Now, who would have ever bought that book?
If he hadn't have put that machine message there.
Right.
We did it on purpose, just like Imus. These people destroy themselves on purpose. Spike is always saying that.
Yeah, and those grenade jumpers. I don't buy their shtick.
If your product is a book about divorced parents and their kids, you're shooting for, you know, a fairly limited amount of people are going to...
No, like lots of them. Like half a dozen alone from Kucinich.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of divorced parents with kids, but not many people are going to read about it.
That sounds good.
He's on his third wife.
If you create this massive controversy about how you treat your kid, and then you're going to write a book about it.
It's not going to make you an expert, the fact that you can't control your own self.
It's not going to make you an expert, but it's going to make people curious about what you had to say about it. Nobody cares what Alec Baldwin had to say about divorce before this came up.
When we played the clip Friday...
I care even less now that this came up.
When Casey played that clip Friday, he talked about he was going to devote his life to the cause, and we didn't know what cause it was. But like Pedro said, they got the whole clip now. His cause is parental alienation. He's saying, I'm telling you, hold on.
It's actually the cause of his book. That's what he's doing.
Oh, I know.
For 6 years, Kim Basinger and he have been going through this custody battle because she is just the worst thing on the planet. And he's writing this book about all fathers, mostly fathers, who are alienated from their kid's life by a shrewful, mean ex-wife who says that your dad's a villain, your dad's a monster, I don't want him in your life.
Well, but then you go on and prove the villain.
Exactly.
He is the villain.
Well,
so I don't case think closed.
He did, I don't
all
think
right,
he did
done.
This on purpose. Yeah. I mean, this does not sell him any
no,
books.
No, it actually ruins his book, chance.
Yeah.
If you play the clip in which he talks about his daughter and how his relationship is, you won't believe what he says about the wife.
Clip number 4.
And everyone in my life who knows me knows I have a great relationship with my daughter. You know, my daughter used to come into me and I'd say, I said to her once, I go, we were lying in bed and I was waking her up. I'd come into her room and I was rubbing her hair. And she laughed at me and I go, what's so funny? She goes, the way you wake me up in the morning where you rub my hair and you, what do I want for breakfast? And she goes, it's so funny to me. I go, why? She goes, because my mom opens the door and says, get the hell out of that bed right now. You're late. We got to have... And I'm thinking to myself, you know, when women do a certain thing, and if it's the mother, it's perceived one way. And when men do it, it's perceived another way.
How did... He just... What?
He basically trashed her.
That's his mission. Every time he opens his
mouth. They're both at fault. That's the thing. Well, when you divorce, and this kid, this poor kid, is the only one who's really losing here. She has both of her parents trashing each other in the press.
Oh, yeah, putting her in the media. I'd throw the mom in jail for that. Here's cut number 5. He says many people say what he said.
I can't tell you how many people who are, like, amazing. I mean, you and I, but all of us know the most famous and privileged people in the world. And some of them would call me on the phone and say, God, if they taped some of the things I said to my kid.
I've said that on this show.
And I've had a lot of other people say to me, if all of us were to lose our custody rights because you had you said something inappropriate, we would have a parentless society, basically.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he's actually right about that.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll buy that we've all done things we're embarrassed by and don't want the world to see. I'll give you that one.
We just weren't stupid enough to leave him on a recording machine.
Hi, I'm Alec Baldwin, crashing my career.
You know what I mean?
My daughter and I have a great relationship. I call her a pig. I'm garbage. Pigs love garbage. So we have a great relationship.
One thing I've learned with an 8-year-old is whatever you say, they're like parrots. It's going to come out of them. So,
mommy's a pig. Mommy's a whore.
I said what? That's what I thought was a cute one this weekend.
What'd you say this weekend?
Well, Emily and...
You call your wife Supermom, by the way. I just want to give her a big
round. And Monkey, by the way.
Not Supermom.
Superwife.
Superwife. Superwife.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference between Supermom and Superwife?
Well, I...
My bad. I'm not qualified.
Should
have put it on my answer machine if you don't want me to say it.
I'm not qualified to bestow Supermom on her. But I will say she must be a great mom because Emily gets real separation anxiety from mom. Here's an 8-year-old, and we go off to camp, and at night she wants mommy. She's used to mommy tucking her in and stuff because daddy's always in bed because I go to work so early. So she's crying, you know, her eyes
she's
out.
She's crying, missing mom?
Missing mommy, and these little 5-year-olds are coming up. What's wrong? Did she fall off a cliff or something?
She got an arrow through her
Separation
head?
Anxiety. We have kind of a weird family.
Yeah, I said, no, she just misses
the 5-year-old
her mommy.
5-year-old for comforting
oh, yeah,
her.
Yeah. And she's an 8-year-old. But so I tried to cheer her up with a little joke. I said, you know, I see why you and mommy are so close, why you miss mommy. And she said, why, daddy? And I said, because mommy likes wine and you like to whine. Just a little play on words.
Mommy's an alcoholic.
No.
This is your Alec Baldwin moment right now. You don't realize it.
And you just said it on the air.
Come back to hunt you.
Well, this is just me trying to lighten the mood.
And we pay you to be funny. And how the hell does this work?
And make her giggle, you know?
Did she get it? She's smart.
And it kind of lightened her up. And she kind of, you know, kept crying, but kind of started to smile through the tears. It helped comfort her.
She was comforting you at that point. Daddy has emotional problems.
Stop trying to be funny, please.
Well, and yesterday when we pull in and mommy's there and she gives her a big hug and starts talking about how was the trip, not 2 minutes went by before, you know, after she reported what daddy ate on the trip, she reported what daddy said. And the first
daddy
thing.
Daddy said, you like wine and I like to wine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had to tell Kelly.
Super mom, not like that?
Well, super wife.
Not anymore.
I said, now, sweetie, you've got to know the context. I told her this. She was really having a hard time, and I wanted to make her laugh. And I didn't say it in a mean way at all.
It's all about the context.
You understand Alec Baldwin, right?
Right.
You understand Alec Baldwin? Even though you could never get mad,
I didn't yell it, but I mean, I've never yelled at my daughter and called her.
Hundreds
a
of joke you, possibilities,
time,
and you go with
me,
wine.
Did you tell me one time that you hit her though?
I spanked her. Yeah, it was
spanked her.
Wasn't,
you felt awful.
Yeah, I ran out of.
What if there were YouTube video of you spanking your 6-year-old?
Well, she
with,
was,
the,
yeah,
with,
she
with
was
some
about
heavy
five or
metal
six.
Music behind it.
It wasn't a very hard spanking, but and I
slow motion.
It's always going to look harder on the video,
say,
especially if they add sound effects. Yeah. You add Spielberg like surround sound. Put a big subwoofer in there, and it would sound awful.
It was effective, you know, and I felt like I was out of options. I tried it, but it hurt me. You've heard that it hurt
more
you
than more. It hurt you.
Blah, and it did.
I want to hear about what you overeat this weekend.
Well, I didn't overeat a lot, but
let's call Emily. She'll give
you
us
said you had
answer.
One bad food experience.
Well, I had one bad food experience that led to a major bad experience, and I have a small issue to bring up due to this experience. We left Seattle to go to Orcas Island, left Bellevue about 12:30, made really good time, no traffic in Everett for the 3:30 ferry. We get to Anacortes about 2 o'clock, and Todd, the father that him and his daughter are riding with us, he goes, you know, it's our tradition to stop at this little purple donut house in Anacortes.
It's a tradition.
It can only make a tradition. Yeah.
Yeah, and he says, we're way ahead of schedule on the ferry, so let's stop at the donut house. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm really not supposed to eat donuts, but I don't want to interfere with a family tradition, so maybe it would be my duty to have just one. So we stopped at the donut house.
Sure.
Right.
And I got this a Bigfoot donut, it was called.
Sure, you couldn't get the
starter.
You
donut.
Get the Littlefoot donut. No. You had to get the Bigfoot donut.
Yeah. And then what it was a big chocolate donut with little maple toes on it. It was it was good. And it was cute.
Weekend was off. It was basically right back on the addiction.
Yeah,
there.
It was good. So anyway, we're all happy. We didn't buy a dozen.
She
we all
slipped it on a sugary slope.
Yeah, we all had
just
one.
Just the one.
One donut, get right. back in the car.
Only one Texas-sized donut.
Yeah, didn't order a bunch. Get back in the car, get down to the ferry terminal at 2:25, and I'd looked online.
Yeah, cheesecake place at the ferry terminal too. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw the sign. I didn't go in.
But how do you know, Bob? Attaboy. Are you visiting often, too?
I do, yeah.
It's a great
but
ferry terminal.
I had looked online at the ferry schedule that morning, and it said show up an hour early for the ferry because, you know, you want to give an hour leeway on the 3:30 ferry. I show up at 2:25, and the guy takes my, geez, I didn't even realize how much it cost to ride
a ferry.
Expensive
to ride the ferry.
Yeah, it was like $60 for four of us to ride the ferry. And he said, you may make the 3:30.
You can almost send James Doohan into space for what you pay to go just over to Orcas Island.
You get further on the ferry.
He said, you may make the 3:30. If not, you'll be on the 6 o'clock. And I said, what? I said, I'm over an hour early. He goes, oh, yeah, no problem. You may make the 3:30. So I go up, and a lady gives me a ticket and says, you're number one standby. And
yeah, you'll probably make it number one standby.
Yeah, it's 2:25, and I was thinking,
you know,
okay.
It gets worse on the weekends now. You never guaranteed, no matter how early you are, you can get stuck and wait an extra 3 hours.
So an hour and 5 minutes early, we're number one standby on the 3:30 ferry. And so I get out, I'm stretching and everything, and the lady in the truck behind
me. You just
have
to stretch after a bear claw donut?
Yeah, it's fall into your thigh.
Joe, we have to finish this story after this break. We'll be right back.
All right.
So this led to something terrible.
Yeah.
They did a bad, bad thing. 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 You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
Downtown Joe headed off for the weekend camping with his 8-year-old daughter. A little separation anxiety from the mother. Not for Joe, though. As soon as she's out of sight, he's got a big old bear claw chocolate-covered donut in his hand. You'd cheat on her in a moment, wouldn't you? You wouldn't get caught.
Well, now, as I said, this wasn't my idea to stop for donuts. That was the...
So it was my idea to stop at the brothel? You'd say, it's a tradition. Bob stops at a brothel every time he's on his way to Vegas.
Well, just got the one bear... They call it a bear claw, the move they're doing, honey. If you cover me in chocolate and use their four little fingers.
I realize it's a different kind of cheating, but still.
Well, but if it was... If you said, oh, I always take my daughter to the brothel on the way, I mean, I don't want to...
I'm not to break tradition.
I don't want to deprive a kid of, you know, their traditions.
How long has she worked here? You must be proud.
So anyway, we go to the ferry line.
You're waiting in line for the ferry. You're first on standby, which is usually a very good sign. You know, it's like about 10 or 15 or 8, depending on the size of the vehicles, you know.
Right.
How many people are driving big, huge SUVs, whether or not you'll get on.
Yeah, on boats and whatnot.
And according to the website at the Washington State Ferries, there's a check the wait times place where you can look. And they say wait times are a half an hour, arrive an hour early for this particular ferry, the 3:30.
No guarantee.
So I arrived shortly,
yeah,
more
you did
than
good.
An hour.
Okay, well, we're good up to this point.
Yeah,
what happens next?
Well, I get out, I stretch. There's a nice lady that lives on the island in a big old four-wheel drive truck with a dog in the back, and she's got a number 4 on her windshield, and I go back and say hello and said they... Say I'm number one standby, and said I'm a little worried because, you know, I got to get. I by the way, I'm the guy with the meat. I'm the guy who's feeding the whole.
You've got meat
group.
And it's melting. Meanwhile, you got bear claw juice dripping out of your.
It's not melting. But...
Hold on, Pedro. Go ahead.
You didn't tell her I'm the guy with the meat.
No,
right?
That's not what I told her.
It's not a good way to introduce yourself to someone who lives alone on an island.
Number one guy with the meat.
Yeah. I just greeted her and said, you know.
All right, so where are we going with this?
We're on standby, and she goes, don't worry. You'll get on. We'll all get on. It's not a problem. It's not crowded this time of year. So I didn't worry. In fact, we had some of our other members of our group that were way up in the line that we found, and we said, we're on standby, so if you want the cooler full of meat, just in case, take it, you know, because we're on standby. And they go, you'll get on. It's no big deal. You're the first in line.
Uh-oh. Now so, I know where this is going.
Well, where it's going is the ferry comes, and we'd waited over an hour. The ferry starts
I'm waiting over an hour now, and you haven't even got to the story.
It starts loading.
You're on standby for
I'm on standby for the story.
The line,
you get to the story.
The line slows down as we're getting closer to the ferry. And the little gate goes down. I go, okay, they're just scrunching everybody in. Then they're going to start loading the standby because there were still 6 or 8 cars
in front of you.
In front of me. And I'm the first guy who's supposed to make.
You're the guy with the meat.
Right. And
did you run out screaming that?
Well, I didn't. No, I didn't run out screaming that.
With a tranquilizer dart.
But what happened next shocked
Homeland Security freaks out at that point.
What happened next shocked me because the gate went down and I thought, okay, they're just, you know, checking and counting because I could still see.
I'm getting this. The fairy pulls
the
away.
Yeah. The fairy started to pull away. And it's like, hold on here. You can't pull away. Not only am I still here, but there's six or eight people in front of me. And there's room on that thing. In fact, when we went.
Well, that's because they load them sometimes and have to leave a certain number of cars for other islands.
Well, but yeah. The deal is I don't want to besmirch the employees of the Washington State Ferry Department.
But you're about to.
Well, but that boat.
You have a list like Colbert, the people that are dead to me. You have, like, the Sonics are up there, Starbucks is up there. Are you going to put the Washington State Ferries up there? They're dead to you?
Well, no, I'm living, the concept of ever living on an island is dead to me. I sure would not want to have to rely on them on a day-to-day basis because that ferry pulled away, and they're not in, like, squeeze every car you can in mode at all. I mean, you're just, like, pulling in, parking where you want, you know. I mean, in peak times, they've got guys who are, like, nudging you up.
Yeah,
you know,
all the time that I've seen. Well, you weren't there. You didn't see them. You're just guessing.
I didn't see them, but I got reports from the
people.
You
got reports from other people.
Well, from the starving people who did make it under the ferry that were wondering why the meat didn't.
Where's my meat?
Yeah. When I showed up. And what that caused is that caused us to wait till the 6 o'clock ferry.
Right, which is one of the most beautiful things about ferry travel and living here in Washington is that every so often you get tagged. I've been the first car not on at least a dozen times, and it's a life check. It's a, hold on, you are so caught up in the you control society and you know when you're going to get someplace that every once in a while it's like, no, you are stopped here. Deal with it.
And I'm okay with that if there is some reason for it.
The moment you got that ticket that said you were standby, it was a possibility.
Right, but when they're telling you show up an hour early and you're showing up an hour and 10 minutes early and you're still getting that ticket on standby.
So they can't predict. They don't know how many people are coming. Did you call and make a reservation?
No, I did not. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
But then there's the six people.
Did your wife know that you would have that bear claw, by the way?
No, she's probably just hearing about that.
Could have guessed, though.
This is why you missed the ferries, because you stopped for a bear claw?
Yes.
Have you owned that yet?
Well, it was not my idea. Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying
believe
it's your
me.
Idea.
Believe me.
That is why.
Oh, and believe me, the guy, not me, but
if you had said, no, I've got to make sure I get this
meat. I'm the meat man.
Yeah, I'm the meat man. I'm the man with the meat.
I'm the bear claw man. I'm the meat man.
And it was Todd, the guy I went
you
with.
You can be the man with the sugar donut. I'm the man with the meat.
It was all for one donut that we missed that ferry. It was. It was. And it only got worse because...
That's just the beginning.
How could it possibly get worse?
Well, how it gets worse is it's a driving rainstorm, so the kids can't even, like, get out and stretch or anything. I mean, it's pouring rain. Uh-huh. Fortunately, I have the minivan with the DVD player. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, playing a DVD for 2 hours for kids tends to
kill your battery.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't. No. You got to Orcas Island and you went to turn on the car.
Well,
and it was boom.
No, he went to load the
next
ferry.
I didn't make it to Orcas Island and before I tried to turn on the car. It's like when
load the boat.
When it's time to get on that, finally, that 6 o'clock ferry.
Oh, wait
comes.
A minute. 3 hours later, you couldn't get on the boat?
I got on thanks to the good employees of the Washington State Ferry Service bringing out their
Washington little... Washington says trashed? Right. Yeah.
Their little truck and jumping me.
They jump started
dead to you as your battery was, weren't they? Yeah.
But, yeah, I got on after a jump start. But see, what makes me mad? I mean, I understand this. You might
You're supposed
not...
to use that ferry time to quietly read a book or talk to each other.
Yeah, well...
You just shoved a media entertainment form in the DVD player in your minivan, and you just basically anesthetized everybody while you sat there on a sugar sleep.
No, let's go check out that cheesecake shop.
Well, I avoided the cheesecake
You did
shop,
say what?
I did
that.
See the sign.
What did you eat down there, though?
Well, after that, it was camp food once we got out there.
Wait a minute. 3 hours, one donut, 3 hours, you trapped in a car, you went down to the shop and got
No, them. I never did.
Nothing?
I never
no
did.
Candy?
No, just the donut.
None of them fresh baked goods down there?
No, never right. made it
you
in
stayed
there.
In your van.
Yeah.
No, you had other food matter. In the van, though. You didn't go 3 hours.
Well, we had all
I've never
food.
Seen you go 3 minutes without chewing.
No, we
something.
Had all the food. Actually,
he's sucking ketchup packets like Polly Walnuts.
Discovered it. The guy I was with had brought these little peanut butter-filled pretzels that were just amazing. I never had those. Yeah.
So you were eating those for 3 hours.
Well, we had a few of those, yeah. But what makes me mad about this fairy deal is I'm perfectly okay with missing a fairy. If I'm late or if I if it's a busy summer day and there's 2-3 hour waits and you're loading them as best and as fast as you can, but when it's not even like peak season, when I followed the rules, I was there before they told me I needed to be there to be on, and then I get there and the guy says, well, you might not make it on, but you would be the first guy not to make it on. Then guys even in front of me,
guys that thought they made it on didn't. Yeah, it's the luck of the draw.
And you hear that this thing is not even really loaded all that full or that, you know, carefully. And that's, I mean, 2 minutes.
I think they always load it carefully. It's just the layman might not understand what's going on.
Maybe. Well,
they leave room. They have cars coming on Lopez Island. They have cars coming on Shaw. And you just got, you know, it's the way it goes. Ferries are all, ferries, they even do that on airlines. Even when you have a guaranteed reservation, they bump you sometimes. That's just the nature of our travel. It's the part of the freedom that we enjoy to go where we want, when we want, without having papers and reservations and everything all lined up. It's just the way it goes.
Well, there is no freedom being trapped in a minivan with a bunch of anxious 8-year-olds watching a DVD running down your battery, eating pretzel-filled peanut butter. I mean, there's nothing.
Yes, it was a horrible situation. Well, oh, the humanity. What, what movie?
Cinderella 3.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What happened? So I never got past Cinderella 1. Where is she by now?
Cinderella 3, the premise is the glass slipper didn't fit, and she's stuck with the evil stepmother. Evil stepmother uses some magic of her own.
Wait a minute, changed Cinderella
So
they could have sequels?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What if?
Yeah, the billboard said, what if the shoe didn't fit?
Yeah. Well, if the shoe didn't fit, the whole premise is blown.
Right.
And you got a sequel. Boom, Disney.
Right.
Big money.
What happens in Cinderella 3?
I'm not sure. I only heard it.
Valerie died before the end of the show. Yeah. Pretty tragic.
I heard a little secondhand Cinderella.
You didn't even pay any attention to that. You were just...
The back seat. I'm in the front seat. I can't see the DVD. That's not the way things work.
Okay.
But I will never live on an island. I will never put myself at the mercy of those boats. I had flirted with the idea, but...
You have?
Yeah.
Which island did you flirt with?
Well, any of them. I mean,
beautiful.
The concept of the peninsula, but I pity the people who have to
pity the fool.
Who have to do that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I understand...
You could always drive around on the peninsula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or past the donut shop.
Oh, and that donut shop, speaking of which.
What's the name of it?
I think the donut shop or something like that.
Yeah.
It's got donut in the name.
As opposed to the tire or fish gut shop.
Yeah.
Emily pointed out it is spelled wrong, but it's a little purple house.
D-O-N-U-T?
Yeah, it's a purple house in Anacortes. If you're going towards the ferry, it's on your right. If you're coming back from the ferry, it's on your left.
No
really?
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to miss a ferry next time,
we felt it only fitting, you know, that since that was the beginning of our undoing, that
we would end there.
We consummate the trip at the donut shop.
Did you explain to Emily what consummate means?
Well, no.
Screw me.
We stopped in there on Sunday morning when there was no pressure. That's when you're supposed to go to the donut shop, is on the way back, not when you're trying to catch a ferry. And I got a blueberry fritter, you know, not to give them a free ad, but that
Joe,
was...
Joe, what about Weight Watchers?
Well, it was just...
What about your pre-core home fitness?
One coming in, one coming out. That was it. No more donuts. But this blueberry fritter, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was really unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. How is Superwife?
She's doing great. Actually, you know...
Why did you name her Superwife?
She named herself Superwife. She made the announcement that she is going to be Superwife from now on.
Wow.
Because she had flirted with the idea of going back to school, getting a degree, getting a real job, you know, a steady job.
Steady is better.
Yeah.
But you know that every super has a kryptonite out there. Is there any kryptonite in your wife's
What do you
case?
Melt her down with?
Yeah.
What brings her to her knees, if I may?
Wow.
Not to bring up the wine thing again.
Blueberry fritters.
But you know what she's doing right now, which is unbelievable. She's
sleeping?
Not even able to monitor this broadcast for a change, probably. She's working. She's just temporarily filling in at a doctor's office where she used to work.
Doing some occasional temp work. Though.
Yeah.
But she's decided against going back and having a career. She wants to be stay-at-home mom.
Right. She decided if she put as much effort into going back to school and pursuing work, if she put that effort into just helping me and
she would
Emily
be super wife.
Yeah, so that's
what are
she's
the
doing.
Super wife's various duties? What are the things that super wife does?
Well, it was amazing what she accomplished while Emily and I were gone over the weekend. I came back, my office is like totally redone. It's ergonomically functional. There, you know, the laundry hamper is where I can actually hit dirty clothes into
your
the
office?
Hamper. Yeah,
the laundry
you're
hamper is in your
you're
office.
Stripping type, is that your deal?
You sweat over a hot computer and it just. Peel off the clothes.
No, well, the whole downstairs is where I kind of.
Oh, that's your.
I kind of.
That's your lair.
How do you know? Maybe she drove by Home Depot and hired a bunch of illegal immigrants to do everything while she just sat in front of the TV set.
She invented a new dish while I was gone. She made me some egglets this morning. I found in my lunch.
These egglets. Yeah, they're like cold. They look like egg. They look like cookies, which is obviously by design for Joe.
Right.
And they are egg cookies, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, they looked like little, because I eat hard-boiled eggs every morning. She basically made little mini egg sandwiches.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like. I got what boys like.
Curb Your Enthusiasm star Cheryl Hines has been appearing in lots of movies lately. Recently, you've seen her in RV, Keeping Up with the Steins, Herbie, Fully Loaded. In May, she has two other movies due out for release, Bickford Schmeckler's Cool Ideas and Waitress, the Adrian Shelley-produced movie that was a hit at Sundance. The opening is bittersweet due to the passing of the filmmaker last November, shortly after finishing work on Waitress. A movie industry watchers do say that this could be the next Sideways. It's a great movie. Cheryl Hines, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to talk. Just coincidentally, the other night, I saw RV for the first time on DVD, and I loved you in it, and here you are on the phone.
Life is funny, isn't it?
It is. And see, it's just that charming kind of response that made you the perfect wife for Robin Williams in that movie, because no matter what goes wrong, you've got that stiff upper lip and that happy attitude.
And bail money.
And bail money.
And yeah, that's always helpful to have bail money in your pocket.
Are you a little bit like that in real life? Are you an optimist?
Yeah, I like to think so. I mean, what's not to like about life?
That's nice. My, geez. Could you give lessons? That would be great.
I'm actually having a seminar later today.
All right.
Come by.
Now, this movie, it's bittersweet, obviously, for a lot of reasons. One, of course, is the sad, tragic murder of the producer. And I understand there's some charity work being set up. Shelley is going to have a memorial, and there's also some money raising to go on to encourage female filmmakers to get a start. And it occurred to me there aren't very many female filmmakers, are there, in the big time?
Not really, no. Adrian Shelley wrote and directed, but also starred in this film. She plays the role of Dawn in the film. And she did an extraordinary job of making this movie. And yes, since we've lost her, sadly, the Adrian Shelley Foundation has been set up to help support female filmmakers. Yeah, so if you'd like to see more about that, you can look online at the Adrian Shelley Foundation.
Yeah, we'll put a link up. Okay, so in the movie, you're a waitress with grand ideas?
Well, I don't know how grand my ideas are. I'm a waitress. I've got some, I've got my own issues. I'm a little self-absorbed about the fact that I think my bosoms are misplaced.
When you say misplaced,
where would you like them?
They're in the front, right?
They're in the front, but I'm sure that one's much higher than the other one.
Ah.
Yeah, and I think about it on a daily basis. It's a quirky, fun...
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm sorry, guy. I have to.
Hello?
Are you there still? Did you, in order to play yourself being concerned about this, did they... tuck one up a little bit? I mean, did they do something to make it plausible, or is it just all in your head?
I wore a special harness.
Ah.
No kidding.
No, I am kidding.
Oh, you are kidding.
No.
Some actors, you know.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, I think of my character, you know how people are, they start obsessing about that one thing that they're sure is wrong with them, and if that was changed, then maybe their life would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those situations.
I understand. It's a movie about one of my favorite subjects, pie. In fact, I've said for a long time there needs to be a movie about pie because I really like pie.
That old American pie thing was not the direction you wanted.
No. Do you get to eat a lot of the extra pies that are made for this movie?
Well, you know, you don't really want to eat a prop pie because it's probably been shellacked and spray painted and...
Yeah.
Who knows who's been touching it. But, on our set there was a lot of pie. We had a lot of pie for lunch, for snacks.
But it was prop pie. It wasn't like from a fantastic bakery nearby.
No. During lunch, it was true pie.
They say that this movie could do for pie what Sideways did for wine, that people all around are going to suddenly start thinking about the virtues of pie again, and I think it's about time.
I think people should start thinking about the virtues of pie.
Yes.
I really do. It's high time.
Hey, Cheryl, you have a great history, of course, with the Groundlings in improv and acting. And understand your first teacher was Lisa Kudrow. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Did she teach you something special that you remember? And if not her, who were your big influences? Who do you admire?
She was one of my teachers, and also Mindy Sterling.
Frau Farbisna.
Yeah, she was one of my teachers too. I learned a lot from both of them. You know, it's interesting when I took classes from Lisa, I was just taken aback by how smart she is, and at the same time how funny she is, and. I think up until that moment, as an actor, I always thought when you went to an audition that you should be on your best behavior and try to, you know, be that character when you walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I met Lisa and then I saw what she was doing on Friends, I realized, oh, okay, they don't want to see your best behavior.
Nobody pays for that.
No, nobody cares about your best behavior. They want to see that one quirky thing that you can bring to the part that's sort of you but not you. I sort of learned that from her, I guess.
Being an actress with a lot of experience, when you starred with Lindsay Lohan and Herbie Fully Loaded, did she come to you for any advice since she was a young lady kind of just getting her start?
I'm not sure she was looking for advice.
She was Fully Loaded, Joe.
What did you say about Fully Loaded?
Oh, I don't know if she was Fully Loaded
or
not.
Rumor had it she was Fully Loaded, yeah.
Cheryl Hines. Cheryl, nice to talk with
you. Nice to talk to you guys.
Right, bye. Swing it on the lawn. Swing it with a mom, because I ain't about to hold. Swing it to the left. Huh?
I have a huge problem when we talk to actresses like her. They make me nervous.
She makes you nervous?
Well, we interview people who...
You knew who her mentor was. I didn't.
I actually emailed with her mentor. Her mentor played Frau Farbisna on all the Austin Powers movies and is a great character actress. And she was on the morning show next door.
We've spoken to her before, I remember. Yeah,
yeah, she's great. And she was so helpful. And, you know, improv is my background. And anytime I talk to a female who started off doing improv, I just get all kind of clammy and I didn't know how to ask any questions of her. But I was at the Groundlings auditioning for the school 4 or 5 years ago and I saw her pictures all over the walls. So it was just... And then I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, ask her a question. Come on, Casey. And I couldn't think of anything. And then I was nervous that it would come out wrong, so I just let you ask all the questions.
I know how you feel when it's somebody you're really close to and a big fan of. It's like
Spike gets that way, too.
Yeah.
You guys should talk because you both have that.
Well, except my solution is to ramble at the mouth. Her is just to be
she
quiet.
You foam at the mouth and keep talking.
I just keep going.
And you start telling the person how much you love them and you never actually...
When I climbed the wall at your house and you let me go and didn't let your dog bite me, that was so nice of you.
Chris Farley did.
Well, he does, and he never actually... And they'll go,
no
so
question.
Was there a question there?
No.
Right. I was sitting here thinking, how is it a question if I tell her how great I think she is and how much I admire the Groundlings? That's not a question, damn it.
Jack Coleman is a veteran actor who plays Horn-Rimmed Glasses Yes, that's his name, at least to the many fans of the hit NBC drama Heroes. Jack was also Stephen Carrington on Dynasty, remember? The first openly gay Stephen Carrington. The first Stephen Carrington was an opening gay, as far as I know. He's also had roles on CSI Miami, Entourage, Without a Trace, and Nip Tuck, as well as several Broadway productions. Jack Coleman, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Thank you. How you doing?
Very good, and congratulations on the show. Heroes is an acclaimed hit now, and boy, that first season in television has always got to be a nail biter, right?
Yes, it's you know, I mean, they're out of how many pilots that are made, probably, you know, 20 get picked up, and then maybe 5 will stay on the air, and maybe 1 or 2 will be hits. So the, you know, the numbers are not in your favor.
No, but it helps to have superpowers.
It always helps to have superpowers. Yeah, you can go back in time and rearrange people's viewing habits.
Now, the premise of this show is not entirely unique. I mean, you have the Marvel Comics Civil War series, you have The Incredibles, you have X-Men, all dealing with what it would be like to live in a society. Did I say that wrong, Mike? I think I got the comic part wrong.
The fact that you said that at all stunned me.
Oh.
So.
Well, you have, what would it be like to live in our society if all of a sudden we had people with superpowers that we had to contend with? And it frightens people.
Yeah, it is frightening, and I think that's one of the things that's very cool about the show is that you have a wide spectrum of reactions to the powers that these people discover they have. I mean, there's Hero who embraces it, you know, wholeheartedly and just says, you know, this is my destiny. And then you have Nathan who says, you know, shut up, you can't talk about these kind of things. What do you think people would do if they found out that you could fly? They'd lock you up. So you have two, you know, very different opinions on you know, whether or not they're good things. And I love the affliction aspect of these powers, that it's something that you're afflicted with as much as gifted with.
Yeah, and we do that to super smart kids, too, to a certain extent in real life, I think.
We sure do, yeah.
Yeah.
We said, you know, anti-intellectualism, and you're a geek, and you're a nerd, and...
The swirly.
You know, I mean, it's like... Yeah, but we kind of rely on geeks and nerds, don't we, for most of our progress?
And speaking of geeks and nerds, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, Jack, but since this show's been on, I'm noticing more horn-rimmed glasses on people. Do you think you're leading a horn-rimmed glass renaissance here?
Yeah, horn-rimmed revolution. I don't know. It's funny, I've noticed a lot more, too, but maybe it's just because, you know, if you buy a yellow car, suddenly you start noticing...
Everyone else has a yellow car. That's right.
It, yeah.
That might be all it is, but on the other hand, I have been noticing more of them, and some people really carry it off and look cool, and then other people just look like a shop teacher from 1964.
Now, with this show, it seems to me there's all kinds of tremendous marketing opportunities, maybe to sell your horn-rimmed glasses or perhaps action figures, the indestructible cheerleader doll. I know it would go over well.
Mm-hmm.
Have they done any of that, or do you think that maybe be season 2?
I don't know that they're really doing action figures yet. I mean, I think NBCUniversal.com, the shop there, is doing a very brisk business and T-shirts and things. But here's the question, though. If you're saying this is an indestructible cheerleader doll, and then people go out of their way to destroy it and then want their money back.
They might misuse it. Yeah.
They have to buy another one.
That's the problem with fiction. It's fiction.
Now, do you get recognized, and have you had some of that Star Trekian people come up to you, talking to you about the plot of the show stuff happening?
Oh, yeah. There are people, my God. I mean, people, the fans of this show are really into it and really devoted. And, I mean, it's great, but they'll know the plot more intimately than I will, and which is always a little terrifying. Yeah, it's a very, very loyal fan base.
Hey, Jack, it's Fanboy Mike here. What did Malcolm McDowell bring to the cast? Because a lot of the fans were stunned that Mr. Linderman, the kingpin of all this, turned out to be not, you know, Malcolm McDowell, the actor on the show, but Malcolm McDowell playing him. What did he bring to it?
Well, I mean, Malcolm is such a fantastic actor, and he brings a wealth of experience and all those great, you know, 60s movies from Clockwork Orange, and there's so many qualities that he brings to it. And he's a natural villain, but he also has a wonderful soft side to him. So I say he's a natural villain. I mean, of course, as an actor, not as a person. And he was, you know, he's just amazing. It's so cool to have him on the show and just to listen to him tell stories about, you know, all the giants of the business. It was really fun to have Malcolm around.
Hey, Jack, as the popularity for the show just explodes, are you worried about getting permanently, you know, horn rim glasses? Are you worried about being
are you worried about like Frank Vulcaneers, Burns? Those, yeah, horn rim glasses where people won't see you in an audition without them?
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, maybe, but it's not really a worry because I think the show is so cool, and I think that the part has enough variation to it. If I were always doing the same kind of scene over and over again, and, you know, if I were just locked in a laboratory fixing something through my Coke lens glasses, then I think that would be a problem. But I think this character, despite the
gets to flex, you know, his glasses,
no, is so cool that I think that it's not really a worry. You know what? It's great to be on a hit TV show.
Now, you were also on a hit TV show in the 80s, Dynasty. You were one of the first openly gay characters on network TV. You've also done lots of work on Broadway, including a lot of musicals. Yet you're married with a child. Do gay actors get mad that you're stealing roles from them?
I would say probably not in general. It's funny because so often, well, you know what? I'm not even going to get into all this because who knows where this might lead. But no,
it seems like if you're looking to play a gay guy on TV, there were plenty to choose from. They chose this nice straight guy like you.
Well, but that happens a lot. It's kind of a safe choice.
yes.
You know, I mean, for them,
especially when you're doing groundbreaking television. Jack, a couple of Jack Coleman trivia questions, because then I know you have to go. True, your grandfather was a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, wrote a book. Did you read his book?
I have read the book. I read it a long time ago. It was written in 1934. I didn't read it in 1934. I'm not that old. But it was called The People's Choice, and it was about how Americans choose their president. It'd actually be very interesting reading again now because, you know, the way people choose their presidents now is very different than
from then. You bet. Is that
a lot of money?
Is that on Amazon? Can people find it?
I would imagine. I've never checked on Amazon, but I would imagine they could. Yeah.
All right. We'll put up a link. We'll email it to you. You can read it again.
1934 won the Pulitzer Prize in history.
Next question: is it true that you're the great, 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 great grandson of Benjamin Franklin? And do you like to go outside and play with keys in the lightning storm?
No, I. Thanks to him, I learned. We all learned a lesson not to do. It is true. If this is sixth generation grandson, I am, and it's pretty cool. You know, we've got some in my house here in Los Angeles. I've got a portrait of Franklin and his wife and his daughter, which are actually 19th century reproductions, but they're very really good, faithful reproductions. And I remember as kids, we had a couple of artifacts of his, I think a snuff box and a couple of other things. And so yeah, it's pretty cool, but it doesn't really get you into clubs or anything.
Jack Coleman in Los Angeles. Horn rim glasses on the hit NBC drama Heroes. Jack, thanks.
Thanks very much.
You can beat them. And of course Mike likes the show a lot.
Yeah, I feel bad though. I think I kind of blew it just now because, as you guys can attest, in my prep so often to you, I put that question, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And you guys never ask it, and I'm sure you make fun of me in there for putting that question. And I could have asked that question.
You could have. I gave it to you for something like that, and you asked some obscure question about some other actor on
Malcolm
the show.
McDowell.
See, we all get so nervous.
He's nervous because it was his hero.
I see.
I love the show.
We should go to the people who don't care about the show for the really, you know, brave questions.
Yeah, that'll work out well.
You're looking right at me.
I don't know. I haven't seen Heroes, have you?
No, I haven't. Yeah. That's why I don't mind
actually,
asking.
Sometimes I see it like right after we do the interview because
right.
I go, oh, that sounds
wish
good.
You had a chance to come back.
Yeah, I'm pretty fearless about anybody. Where my weakness is members of the Grateful Dead. I get tongue-tied when we talk to them.
Well, then it's not much problem. They're all dying,
yeah,
so you should be pretty safe pretty soon.
Lesser and less of a problem, that's for sure.